office at 6 p.m.
Lieutenant Devers of Homicide, 6 p.m. Check. What are my instructions?
You will shoot to kill.
Presenting The Whisperer, starring Carlton Young. The Whisperer, a brilliant man who, losing his voice in an accident which crushed his vocal cords, worked his way deep within the crime syndicate to help destroy it from within. To the underworld, his familiar rattling hiss is the voice of authority, to be obeyed without question. Then a miracle of surgery performed by Dr. Benjamin Lee restored his natural voice, enabling him to resume his real identity. Now, as Philip Gault, aggressive young attorney, he skirts the thin edge of death, living his dual role. For as the Whisperer, he sets in motion the forces of the syndicate in Central City. Then, as Philip Gault, uses his knowledge to fight the organized network of crime which seeks to control the fate of millions in cities and towns across the nation. Now, in the apartment of Ellen Norris, the only one besides Dr. Lee, her employer, who knows that the Whisperer is really Philip Gault, brilliant young Central City attorney, we find Philip speaking in the voice of the Whisperer to his superiors on the syndicate in New York.
Hello, New York. Instructions for liquidation of Lieutenant Charles Denvers, given to Neely, will report progress.
Not Lieutenant Denvers.
That's right, Ellen. Denvers' been a thorn in the syndicate side for a long time here in Central City.
Thanks to the information you've managed to get to Denvers. Oh, he's such a nice guy, Phil. Couldn't you have ignored the syndicate and forgotten to pass on their instructions to the killer just this once?
Too much of a chance, Ellen. Playing both ends against the middle the way I am with the syndicate all the time, I'm lucky they haven't got suspicious of me already.
Even if they only suspected you weren't completely on their side. Phil, why don't you just call Denvers and warn him? Tell him to be on his guard, that the syndicate is...
And then, when he asked me how I happened to know...
Oh, I didn't think of that. But you're not going to just sit by and allow him to be murdered, Phil.
May I use your phone again, darling?
If it's for the syndicate, no.
If it's against the syndicate?
In that case, dial away.
Thank you.
Could I, without being nosy, ask who you're calling?
Lieutenant Denvers.
But you said...
I said I couldn't warn him, but I've got to do something. I can ask him to... hold it.
Denvers speaking, Homicide.
Good evening, Lieutenant. This is Phil Gault. How are you?
Suspicious. What's on your mind?
Dinner, Lieutenant. I'd like to invite you and your charming wife out for dinner this evening.
On you?
On me.
Did I hear right?
Of course. Can't I ask you to dinner without raising your suspicions, Lieutenant?
No.
You're antisocial, Lieutenant.
Not an invitation out of the blue like this. Not after years of getting in my hair on cases and spending your time fighting my evidence in court.
Well, that's something else again. That's business. As a man, as a friend, I like you, Lieutenant. There isn't an ulterior motive within miles of me right now. I just want to... Honest, Lieutenant. How about it?
Well, even if I believed you, Gault, I couldn't. The wife and I are eating out tonight, all right. We're taking some friends to dinner.
Oh, too bad.
Well, maybe I'll take a rain check.
Okay. Goodbye, Lieutenant.
He won't come?
Candy has a date.
What was the idea of inviting him, anyway?
Well, I figured as long as I was with him, I could keep an eye peeled for this Neely, the syndicate's hired killer I just spoke to. I guess now that's no good. Now, hey, wait a minute. I know what I'll do.
Uh-oh. 5 will get you 10. It's going to end up by having us miss dinner altogether.
Quite the contrary. I'm going to do just what the killer's going to do.
Kill Denvers?
All the killer knows is that Denvers will be coming out of headquarters around 6 o'clock.
About 20 minutes from now.
He'll probably be parked near headquarters waiting for Denvers. But I don't think you'll risk shooting him there. He'll follow and wait for a better opportunity.
I don't suppose, as usual, you know what this Neely, this killer, really looks like.
No, I don't, Ellen. He's another one of these syndicate men imported to do their dirty work, and chances are he's now working alone. But with luck, we ought to be able to spot him before he gets a chance to shoot Denvers.
We hope.
We hope. Come on, put your face on so we can get going. I want to be parked near police headquarters when Denvers comes out.
As I said about dinner...
Now, don't be silly. A little delay will just sharpen your appetite. Notice anything new and different?
In the car here? It's got to be a new gadget of some kind.
Uh-uh.
No? I see you've still got the wire recorder installed behind the dash. You didn't take it out as you threatened.
Well, I decided it might come in handy sometime again. Keep looking.
I don't... What's that? Connected to the steering pole near the dash. But that can't be a telephone, can it?
You win the gold-plated shoehorn. Care to try for the Cadillac?
A telephone in a car? What good is it?
Oddly enough, for making telephone calls.
Well, that's impossible. I never...
There's old hat, Ellen. You're way behind on your popular mechanics.
I guess I am.
Done by radio.
Well, why go to all the trouble to develop such a thing? Can't people drive to the nearest phone booth or something if they have to make a call?
It's not only for making calls, Ellen. Doctors driving their rounds could be contacted in an emergency. Companies with fleets of cars or trucks can contact them on the road during the day or night.
I see. And also as a toy for gadget-happy characters like you.
Oh, that's unkind. I'll bet I get a lot of use out of it.
Mm-hmm. Like calling the telephone company to check the time of day.
Very funny. You just wait until... Uh-oh, there's the police headquarters down the block. Several cars parked across the street from it. We better stop here.
There's a man sitting in one of them.
Just one? Usually they work in pairs. I only know about Neely, but then the syndicate doesn't tell anybody everything, not even me.
What do we do now? Go up and ask him if he's waiting to shoot Lieutenant Denver?
If we're anxious for a bullet ourselves. Otherwise, we wait and see what happens. Look, there's Denver's car parked right in the front of headquarters.
I wonder what restaurant the lieutenant's going to.
I just hope he gets there in one piece. How can you think of food when a man's life is in danger?
Oh, it isn't me. I'm very altruistic. Always thinking of the other fellow. But my stomach has a mind of its own.
Look, here comes Denver's now, out of headquarters.
Suppose you're wrong, Phil. Suppose Neely shoots now, from his car.
It's a gamble. I gotta hope he doesn't.
He's almost to his car now. The man in the other car hasn't moved.
That fellow isn't Neely. Maybe Neely's hidden somewhere else, just waiting to shoot.
There. Denver's in his car. Nothing's happened.
Yet.
He's driving off. Whew, that was a bad moment.
It isn't over. There goes the other car, making a U-turn and following Denver's car.
Isn't that illegal? In the middle of the block?
Oh, that's a woman for you, worrying about irrelevancies at a time like this. The important thing is that the car following Denver's is almost certainly being driven by Neely with a gun cocked and ready.
What do we do now?
Follow both of them. It isn't a cinch trying to head off a syndicate man intent on killing.
I've lost Lieutenant Denver's car, Phil.
Probably a couple of blocks ahead of us now. I'm having no trouble keeping the green sedan Neely's driving in sight.
I didn't get a very good look at Neely back there, did you?
No. He had that hat pulled down. Hey, he's turning off.
Going into that parking lot of the Chateau Frank.
Denver's must be meeting his wife and guests in there.
A restaurant. And famous for their sauerbraten and potato pancakes. Yum. Did we get to follow them in?
I think it can be arranged.
Oh, this isn't going to be such a bad evening after all. Here comes the head waiter, Phil. I hope he has a table. I'm famished.
Healthiest appetite in Central City.
Two, sir?
Oh, yes, please.
Right this way.
Oh, would you mind? I'd rather sit on the other side.
Hmm? Oh, of course, if you prefer, monsieur.
What difference where we sit, Phil?
He was taking us to a table 6 feet from Denver's party.
So what? Are we allowed to eat dinner here?
After my inviting him out tonight? Police may have suspicious minds about coincidences.
How is this table, sir?
Perfect. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, sir. Would you care to order now, sir?
I would. I'll have the sauerbraten.
Yes, miss. You, sir?
Sauerbraten will be all right for me, too.
Fine, fine. Drink first.
Ellen?
If I sharpen my appetite anymore, I'll eat the tablecloth.
Nothing for me either.
Yes, sir.
Pardon me a second, Ellen.
Don't tell me. A telephone call.
Uh-huh.
As the whisperer, no doubt.
Not so loud. I'll be right back.
Already?
My other life doesn't take up much of my time.
See anyone that looks like he might be Neely?
Well, that dark man. No, I don't think so.
He must have come in here. We saw his car drive into the parking lot.
Yeah. Uh-oh. Head waiter's been speaking to Danvers. Danvers headed this way.
What for? I don't get it.
I don't think he has anything to do with us. I don't think he's even seen us yet.
If we put the menus up in front of our faces.
No good, Alan. He spotted us.
Well, Philip Gord. You're sure a persistent guy, aren't you? Hello, Miss Nora.
Hi, Lieutenant.
Danvers. Quite a coincidence, huh? Well, what do you mean, persistent?
Well, if you invite a fellow out to dinner and he refuses, you just follow him and force him to eat in the same restaurant with you.
Suspicious nature is an occupational disease with the police.
Yeah? Well, then why did you steer the head waiter away from our side of the restaurant and have him seat you over here?
Oh. You saw that, did you?
Uh-huh.
Well, I didn't want to crowd you, Lieutenant. Didn't want you to think that I was following you.
Why, are you?
Of course not. But now that you're here, why don't you sit down and have a...
No, I can't right now. There's a phone call waiting for me.
Well, maybe later then, huh?
Well,
he is a suspicious policeman.
Phone call for him, huh? You know, Ellen, maybe he's not suspicious enough.
Where are you going?
Make sure that's a genuine phone call. You haven't forgotten one of the syndicate's killers is waiting for a chance to get his sights on the lieutenant, have you?
No, but why leave me here?
Now, your food will be along in a minute. You just sit tight.
Oh, no. You're liable to disappear, and I can't eat two orders of sauerbraten.
Oh, no? Come along, then. It's probably nothing to worry about anyway. Phone booths are over this way, on the way out to the parking lot.
Nobody around, Phil. Both phone booths are empty.
What I was afraid of.
Phil, wait.
There goes Denver's car. Come on.
Come on where?
To our car.
Oh, so we can follow him and make sure he's not walking into a trap?
He's not walking into a trap. He's already in it.
Oh.
There was a man sitting next to Denver's, a man with his hat pulled low over his eyes.
You think he had Denver's called out by the head waiter on a fake telephone call and was waiting for him at the telephone booth?
I'm sure of it, Ellen. As the car went by me, I got a quick look inside. Neely had a gun, and if I know anything about a syndicate trigger man, Neely knows how to use it.
Where's Denver's car?
I don't know. Now, keep your eyes peeled. I don't even know what we can do if we do spot it. But I do know Lieutenant Danvers will be dead in a matter of minutes if we don't.
You are listening to The Whisperer, the story of Philip Galt, who skirts the thin edges of danger, living his dual role. Philip Galt, known to the syndicate of crime only as the Whisperer, has set in motion the syndicate's plan to kill Lieutenant Charles Danvers of Central City. But now, in his real identity as Philip Galt's counselor at law, he is trying desperately to stop Neely, the syndicate's hired killer, from carrying out the skillfully planned murder. The killer has forced Danvers into his own car at gunpoint, and now Phil and Ellen follow in Phil's car, desperately trying to pick up the trail so they may prevent the lieutenant's murder.
How do we know they went this way?
We don't, but it's logical to suppose Neely's forcing Demers to drive to the outskirts of town so he can kill him in private.
And this is the quickest way out of town.
Right.
And if we're wrong, oh, Phil, if only you hadn't passed the syndicate's orders on to this Neely character.
Then someone else would have.
Yes, and... I know. And they wouldn't have tried to stop the murder from happening like we are. But if we don't find Denver's car...
I'll never forgive myself.
Phil.
What is it?
Straight ahead at that corner. Isn't that...
It looks like Denver's car, all right. Hang on, sweetheart. We're going to...
The light's changing, Phil.
Then we'll just have to... Oh, we can't. Too many cars stop ahead of us. We'll have to wait.
Oh, Phil.
We'll catch up, I hope.
If only there were some way to get the police to... Phil.
What?
Your telephone. You can call the police.
Oh, why didn't I think of that?
Because you're too busy berating yourself for getting Lieutenant Danvers in this predicament in the first place.
Light's changing, Ellen. I got to concentrate on my driving. You better call.
What do I do?
Just pick up the phone and ask the operator for police headquarters. Press down the button to talk, release it to listen. Now give the operator that number on the windshield.
Operator, this is JL22469. Police headquarters, please, and hurry. Well, I tell them.
Exactly what's happening and where we are.
Hello? This is Miss Ellen Norris, calling from an automobile driving north on State Boulevard. Lieutenant Denver's life is in danger. Yes, a car. We're following Lieutenant Denver's car.
Tell him to get off the dime.
He's being forced to drive out of town by a man with a gun. Well, he won't shut up.
Press the button. Cut him off.
Oh. Now, you listen to me. We're in a gray two-door sedan. License number 483216. You know Lieutenant Denver's car, don't you?
Tell him we're just crossing Cedar Street now, still traveling north.
We're still on State Boulevard, traveling north. And we just crossed Cedar Street. Yes, yes, please, hurry. We're putting out the message to all squad cars in this area. We ought to have help in no time.
Not too many cars in this part of town. It's only partly built up.
Well, still, we're practically out of the city already. What do we do if the police don't get here in time?
I don't know, Ellen.
Darn this syndicate with its killings all the time. And us getting mixed up in it. No more streetlights. And we're the only two cars on the road as far as I can see.
I just hope Neely doesn't see. He'll know we're following. And with that gun, he could make life difficult for us.
Anyway, we won't lose them out here.
But they're turning off on a side road. Chances are he'll spot us for sure now.
Maybe he won't shoot Denver when he finds out we're following. Careful, Phil! Oh, came off a course to the edge of that canyon.
He'll probably make Denver stop and walk off the road a ways before he shoots him. If we try to interfere, he'll just use two more bullets.
Phil, they're speeding up.
They must have spotted us. He can't know we're following him on purpose yet. Probably just wants to lose us. Ellen, get on that phone again. Squad cars won't know where we turned off. They'll keep going north on the main highway and miss us completely.
Hello, operator? Operator!
That car of Denver's is souped up to go a lot faster than mine. I better try to head him off while I still got a chance.
Darn that, operator. Hello. Operator. Operator. How can you stop them, Phil?
Force them off the road, maybe. It's a chance, but if they get away from us now...
Operator.
They only have one operator on the car service now. Sometimes they get tied up on long distance.
Oh, fine. Operator, operator.
No use shouting into the phone, Ellen. She won't cut your line in until she's free.
What do I do? Just sit and wait while Denver's car gets lost?
Nothing else you can do. But I don't think they're going to lose us. Neely doesn't know Denver's car is souped up, and there's no reason Denver should drive to his own murder any faster than necessary.
We are gaining on them, Phil.
Better get down, Ellen. Down underneath the dashboard on your side there.
Why?
It's safer. Try to relax so it won't jar you too much when we hit.
Hit what?
Denver's car. I'm going to force him off the road. Now get down.
Okay. Now what?
Just relax.
Relax, you said.
We're just about next to him now. Neely hasn't got any idea what's coming. Thinks we're trying to pass him. Hang on, sweetheart. Relax. Relax. Are you all right, darling?
I guess so. My dignity is kind of bruised. Can I get up now?
You better stay where you are. Denver's car took a worse jostling than this one, but Neely may still be in a shooting condition. I'm going out to see what happened.
Be careful, Phil.
Hold it. There we are. Don't make a move.
Denver, is that you?
Oh, God. I thought so.
Hey, what happened to the other fella?
Got banged around a bit when you ran into it.
He's still asleep.
Oh. Pretty tight squeeze, huh?
It would have been a lot tighter if you hadn't come along for the ride. Guess I ought to thank you, huh? You probably saved my life.
Don't make too much of an effort. How did you know it was me following you?
I got a look at you as I drove out of the restaurant parking lot with Neely's gun in my wrist. From the look on your face, I figured you knew what was happening.
Where's his gun now?
This is it. If he happens to come too suddenly, he won't be so dangerous with his fangs removed.
Phil, I'm getting awfully cramped up in here.
Huh? Oh, sorry, sweetheart. Come on out.
You would have gone on chatting with Lieutenant Denver's all night if I hadn't opened my mouth.
Well, I guess my car'll still drive. I'll take that hood back to headquarters.
Right. We'll follow.
Here comes the car. Maybe the police.
Down behind the car. They're shooting at us.
What now? That car's pulling off the road.
Well, as soon as he gets out of that car, he's going to get a blast. I'll ask questions later.
He won't be able to hit us as long as we stay down.
He got out of his car on the far side. Probably going to try to come around the end of his car and nail us. I'd better teach him some manners.
I'd better keep him on his side of the road. Better keep down, Devers. He's pretty impatient for a target.
Yeah, this looks like a standoff. Somebody hears those shots and calls headquarters. What blazes is that?
My telephone.
Your what? Out here in the middle of nowhere? Has he gone off his trolley, Ellen?
He has a telephone in his car, Lieutenant.
Oh. Where you going, Gold?
Gonna crawl back to my car and answer the phone. Maybe the police trying to get to us. Find out where we are.
Wait a second. There's 10 feet of open space between our cars. You'll be a perfect target for that guy across the road.
Phil, you can't.
I gotta chance it. I'll make like a snake, crawl on my belly. Cover me with your gun, Lieutenant.
All right, but be careful.
Can you see the man across the road? Can you tell if he can see Phil?
No, he's hidden behind his car. But if he sticks his nose out to get a shot at Phil... There. Stuck his nose out and I missed him. Well, I got him behind his car anyway.
Well... still got to his car safely. Oh, he's answered the phone. Lieutenant, look out!
You! Oh, thanks, Ellen. Oh,
Neely, he was about to smash that rock on your head.
Yeah, well, Neely won't be trying to smash any more people's skulls in.
Dead?
Yeah. Well, I shot good once this evening anyway.
The other one's driving off, Lieutenant.
Come on, in your car, Lieutenant, after him.
He's got quite a head start.
Well, we'll catch him in this. We'll do 110.
What was that phone call, Phil?
Police calling back. Their squad cars couldn't find us. I told them to set up a roadblock at the intersection of this road with the main highway, just in case.
You think they had time?
We'll know soon enough. The rate we're going, we ought to...
There, straight ahead of us. Two squad cars across the road with their headlights blazing.
We won't be able to stop in time, Phil. He'll...
Turning off the road.
Okay.
He went over.
That's a 300-foot drop.
Oh, you think
he... Houdini couldn't live through that. We better get down there. Have a look.
No. I'll have some of the boys take care of it. I'll drive you back to your car and get back to the restaurant. My wife will be wondering what happened to me.
Well, let's all get back. Our food's still waiting. Not that I have any appetite left after what happened tonight. Very thoughtful of that head waiter, keeping our orders on the stove.
No appetite, she says. Yeah, a real persistent guy, Gord. You got me to have dinner with you after all.
Mm-hmm. But I'm sorry your wife didn't wait for us.
Ah, she's used to me running out on one sort of urgent business or another.
I hope it isn't always as urgent as this was.
Lieutenant, what about that man who crashed the bottom of the canyon in his car? Any identification on him?
No, the car was rented. You drive place, never saw him before. We sent his fingerprints on to Washington. Yeah, probably another one of the syndicate's hired killers from out of town.
Syndicate? You think they were behind this attempt to kill you?
Well, it's a logical thought. I've been getting in their hair lately.
Yes, it does sound logical.
Mm-hmm. Of course, you wouldn't know anything about it.
Me? How would I?
Hmm. Well, what was it you wanted to see me about, Gawk?
Nothing. I told you, just a friendly dinner together.
I see. Well, after tonight, I guess I ought to leave it your way, huh?
Thanks. Pardon me, I'll be right back.
Where now?
Just got to make a telephone call.
Look out for guys with guns waiting for you.
I will, Lieutenant. And while I'm gone, keep an eye on my potato pancakes. That girl sitting next to you knows no loyalties when it comes to food.
The Whisperer is based upon stories and characters created by Stetson Humphrey. Any similarity to persons living or dead is purely coincidental. Carlton Young is starred as The Whisperer. Betty Moran is Ellen. Others in the cast were Paul Frees and Paul DuBose. Don Rickles speaking. The Whisperer was written by Jonathan Twice, produced and directed by Bill Karn. Original music by Johnny Duffy. Next week, listen to another exciting adventure with... As a result of the disastrous floods in Kansas, Missouri, Oklahoma, and Illinois, the President of the United States has asked the American people to contribute $5 million through their local chapters of the American Red Cross for the relief of flood victims. Over 45,000 families have been affected by the floods, and an estimated 12,000 of these will register with the Red Cross for assistance. Emergency needs are overwhelming, but immediate aid to the victims, food, shelter, clothing, and medical care is only a part in caring for those whose lives have been disrupted by the disaster. Give and give generously. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.